Good morning.
Wow, you are quite awake this morning, aren't you? I'm always slightly surprised when so many people go out with the children that there's going to be anybody left when I turn around. So I'm very encouraged this morning to see so many of you. Well, welcome to 2015. And let me wish you all a very happy new year. But the question that's been going around in my mind is, how do you approach a new year? Do you kind of just shrug it off and say to yourself, well, you know, it's no big deal. It's just another new year. It's just another year. Or perhaps you're moving into this year and for you, it's full of potential and excitement and you can't wait to get going into this new year. And some of you as parents can't wait for your children to get back to school because that sense of routine is what we need so badly. Or maybe you're just dying to draw a line under 2014 because it's been a difficult year. I have to confess to you this morning, I don't particularly enjoy New Year. Maybe it's just my personality, but sometimes it gets to New Year, I find myself thinking back. And I find myself thinking of the times when I've failed and I've messed up. And I think about some of the times when I wish I had been a better person. And I think of some of the times when I wish I had been a better disciple of Jesus Christ. And for some of us, I suspect you can probably relate to that sense of looking back. Some of you are sort of nodding rather sympathetically this morning. Maybe you just feel sorry for me, but maybe that relates to you this morning. Because that's what life is like, isn't it? It's full of ups and downs. It's full of joys and sorrows. And 2014 has been a difficult year for some in our church family. We've lost some dearly loved members of our family. Some of you have lost partners. They're with the Lord in glory, but you miss them today. Some of you, 2014 has been a difficult year because work-wise, things have not worked out in the way you would have liked them to have. Or maybe you're concerned about your health. You're not really sure what this new year is going to bring. And there may be lots of reasons why we want to draw a line under 2014, but my task this morning really is to point you forward, not to point you back. To remind you that we live in a broken and a fallen world. Here's just a selection of pictures of things that have been going on in our news over the last little while. Because one thing is very sure, as we enter 2015, we live in very uncertain times, don't we? The ongoing conflict in Syria. Persecution of our brothers and sisters in Christ. The continual and brutal rise of IS. The crash of another airliner, the pictures of distraught relatives and friends, a bin lorry in Glasgow ploughing into a group of shoppers just before Christmas, a woman who seems critically ill, who's been to help fight Ebola and now has the disease herself. And the story continues. But my task this morning is not to depress you, it's to point us forward into 2015. And one of the things I love about being a follower of Jesus Christ is that when I come to the Bible, I find that it points me forward over and over and over again. Here's some of my favorite passages that point me forward, pressing on towards the goal, forgetting what is behind, straining towards what is ahead. I press on to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Forgetting what's behind, that sense of moving forward. I love the way the Bible moves us forward. There's another passage in 1 Peter 5, the God of all grace who's called you to his eternal glory in Christ after you've suffered for a little while will restore you, will make you strong, will make you firm, will make you steadfast, pointing us forward. Why do you need that kind of jolt this morning as we kind of come out of Christmas and New Year? Here's another passage in the Bible which points us forward. Don't forget one thing, dear friends, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. He's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. I mean, that's something we need to hear in the light of the world in which we live. And then these amazing verses which lie behind a new teaching series that we begin next Sunday morning. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And that lovely passage, you will wipe away every tear from their eyes and there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain because the old order of things has passed away. I am making everything new. You see the way the Bible points us forward. And we begin a new teaching series next Sunday morning on the new creation, looking at what the Bible has to teach us about what happens after death, how we live now in the light of what's planned for God's people. But what I want to do this morning is to pick up this biblical theme of looking forward as we head into a new year together. Outside this church building are four words which say something to our community about what's important to us. Now, am I going to go out on a limb this morning and ask you what they are? Can anybody tell me what they are? I'm going out on a limb here. They're on our notice boards. They're on our letterheads. They're on our publicity. Thank you. Helping people follow Jesus. I don't know whether to be encouraged or discouraged this morning. Helping people follow Jesus. Four words that lie behind the vision that we believe that God has given to us as a church. Here's a fuller definition of that vision that we've been thinking about. We exist to help people become fully committed and equipped disciples of Jesus Christ. Here's the heartbeat of God for his church right across the world. The words that we read from Matthew 28 a few minutes ago. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that lovely promise, and surely I will be with you to the very end of the age. A vision that's captured in these four simple words. A vision that gives us a sense of purpose and direction. Four very simple words. Helping people follow Jesus. We exist to help people become fully committed and equipped disciples of Jesus Christ. And that sense of vision has been described very aptly, I believe, as a reflection of what God wants to accomplish through you, through me, through us, to build his kingdom. And as we move into a new year as a church family, I want to remind you of this vision that God has given to us. These four important words which reflect God's heartbeat for his church. That in the midst of this broken and fallen world, you and I can stand as beacons of hope because we believe in Jesus Christ. Lovely, some of the things we've been singing this morning are affirming our faith in who Jesus Christ is. We stand, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, as a beacon of hope in this broken world, in this community, in your places of work, in your neighborhood, amongst your friends and your families. Because through Jesus, forgiveness becomes a reality. New starts are possible. Eternity is a reality. The God who stepped into the history of our world, in the person of Jesus Christ, who's called Emmanuel, God with us in the brokenness and the pain of our messed up world. God has promised that one day he's going to make everything new. There will be no more tears or death or mourning or crying or pain because the old order of things has passed away. Helping people follow Jesus. What better way to start this new year than coming back to the sense of vision and purpose that God has given to us? And as you move from this great commission at the end of Matthew 28, I want you to come to Acts 2 and to open your Bibles this morning back in that passage on page 1094. Because what you get in Acts chapter 2 is you get a snapshot of a spirit-filled church emerging into a pagan community and beginning to display what following Jesus is all about. And I hope that some of those marks, some of those characteristics will be some of the things that we see this morning. We think, yes, I'm going for that in 2015. That is what I want for my life and for those around me in this new year. You see, and here in Acts chapter 2, we're introduced to a new and emerging community of God's disciples. Spirit-filled, baptized followers of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 38. Here's Peter, the day of Pentecost. People saying, what should we do? How do we respond? How do we believe in Jesus? He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is how you become a follower of Jesus. And how thrilling to hear of plans for another baptismal service coming up. because people are taking the claims of Jesus seriously. They're saying, I want to make a public stand because I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. My friends, these words on our notice boards are not just a theory, they are a reality. They are what it is all about. And praise God, we are seeing people coming to faith in Christ and being baptized here in this local church. And you end, read at verse 41, that those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. What a wonderful glimpse of the early church. You look at that and you think, whoa, I'd love a little bit of that for Crofton Baptist Church for 2015. That passage excites you when you read it. Or you just think, oh, well, that's back in the past. That's 2,000 years ago. It's not like that today. It doesn't happen like that anymore. But my friends, it does. I believe that as we look at these verses from 42 through to verse 47, we're going to get a glimpse of what God wants for us as a church as we move into a new year together. Some marks or some characteristics that he wants to grow in you and me. There are two very important words that are brought together in these verses that make this a very powerful passage. Here they are on the screen behind me. They are the words together and devoted. Together, verse 44 and 46. Hard to miss the sense of togetherness of this group of early Christians. Everything they did together. They were devoted, verse 42, to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship of breaking of bread and prayer. There's this all-out commitment. They were giving everything they had to the cause of Christ. Together and devoted. You see, we can't do this on our own. We certainly can't do it in our own strength, as we're going to see in a few minutes this morning. But we are in this together. I hope you have that sense of being in this together this morning. And I want to show you, as we move through this passage this morning, some marks or some characteristics that I'm praying for this church family as we move into a new year. I want to encourage you and invite you to join me and say, Lord, will you do this in our family this year? Will you grow these things in us? And here's the first thing that I want you to notice, that together they were devoted to the worship of God. Look at verse 46. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They also met in their homes. And they ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Here's a lovely picture of allowing the worship of God to shape our living and our thinking. My friends, the church exists to worship God. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness at the very beginning of his ministry, it was no coincidence that the devil was trying to teach or trying to draw Jesus away into worshipping created things. And Jesus' reply to Satan in Matthew 20, at the beginning of his ministry, was, no, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. On another occasion, Jesus was asked about the importance of the commandments in the Old Testament. Somebody came to him, Matthew 22, and said, Teacher, which is the greatest commandment? And Jesus replied, Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. But it's so hard, isn't it? It's so hard to love the Lord our God with all our heart, our soul, and our mind. You and I were having a conversation during the week about idols in our lives. We were kind of teasing each other a little bit, I suppose. We were saying to each other how easy it is to worship created things. Things that are good things in and of themselves. And we were, I suppose, rather naughtily pointing out some of the idols that we reckoned we had in each other's lives. But it's very easy to worship created things, isn't it? Idolatry is very subtle in this day and age. We don't worship statues and gods that we set up made of bronze and stone. But we can give our worship to so many other things, the things that come to us as good gifts from God, things like our families and our friends and our careers and our employment and our retirements and our education and our money and our possessions and the time we spend on computers and phones and tablets and TV. All good things. But how easy it is to give our time to those rather than to God. What would it mean for us if we were to devote ourselves to the worship of God in 2015? What would that mean in your life? What would that mean in my life? One of the things you discover very quickly is what we've been learning last term, and that is that we'll settle that matter of identity very quickly. Because when you worship God, you realize that you've been made in the image and the likeness of God. You realize that your identity is something which you receive from God. You realize that you are deeply loved by God. You realize that there's nothing that you can do to make God love you more. Why do you think God gives us this as the first commandment? So here you are, first mark of this early church as they emerge, spirit-filled, together, devoting themselves to the worship of God. What might that mean for us in 2015? Now, here's the second thing I want you to notice. Because together they devoted themselves to growing as the disciples of Jesus. Verse 42, here we are back to this sense of vision again. We exist to help people become fully committed and equipped disciples of Jesus Christ. You see, we cannot help others to become followers of Jesus unless we ourselves are following Jesus in the first place. So in verse 42 we read they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and preaching. Everything in Acts chapter 2 is focused on teaching about Jesus. Where there's no preaching and teaching about Jesus, there is no church. And here at Crofton, we believe that the Bible is God's inspired word, that it comes to us with the authority of God, and that everything else is subject to its truth, and that the big idea and the big picture and the big story of the Bible is about the person and work of Jesus Christ. So let me ask you, as we head into a new year, how serious are you about devoting time to growing as a disciple of Jesus Christ? Picking up your Bible and asking God to speak to you. Developing that relationship with God. Making space in the day to hear God speaking into your life. You do all that you can to join a smaller group or a home group. Not just to join, but to attend. So that together we learn what it is to follow Jesus. Do you make an effort to be here on a Sunday when we're teaching about Jesus, when we meet together? Will you make the effort to hear it from the website if you miss it, so that you understand the series that we're teaching and the bigger picture of what we're teaching into? Because you see, here in the early church, together they were devoted to growing as the disciples of Jesus. Thirdly, I want you to notice that together they were devoted to spending time with others. This sense of togetherness, verse 42, here they are. devoting themselves to the fellowship, verse 42. Verse 44, all the believers were together. Verse 46, every day they continued to meet together. You can't miss the sense of togetherness that's in this passage. Something that includes the breaking of bread and prayer. Something that we would do together this evening at 6:30. Important things for us to do together. Breaking of bread keeps us in touch with each other. It keeps us in touch with the death and resurrection of Jesus. And prayer reminds us that we are heaven and earth people. It's hard to miss the sense of community that's in this passage. They met together regularly, sometimes in large groups like this, and often in small groups in each other's homes. That's why we encourage people to join and participate in a small group. Because we can't make friendships of any depth here on a Sunday morning. It's impossible. And now by the end of Acts chapter 2, there's another 3,000 people that are going to be incorporated into the church of Jesus Christ. How are they going to grow together? By meeting in large groups and also in small groups. But here's a quotation that helps to make that point, the importance of meeting together in smaller groups, even more forcibly, from Mark Green, who's written a lot about the church in the UK today. He writes these words. He says, churches today are filled with people who look outwardly contented and at peace, but are inwardly crying out for someone to love them. Confused, frustrated, guilty, often able to communicate even with their own families. But the problem is that other people they see in the church look so happy and content and self-sufficient, they never have the courage to admit their deepest need. If I had a pound for every time someone had said that to me, I'd be a very rich person. Because we all do it. We sort of look around each other on a Sunday morning and we think, well, I can't really be honest about how I am in my struggles because people look so content on the outside. That's why we need smaller groups. That's why we need to meet in one-to-ones. So we need to meet in an environment where we can actually be honest with each other and we can talk to each other about how things really are. Because sometimes when we meet in a group like this, we perpetuate the sense that everything's great. And it's not, because for some of you inside, your hearts are breaking. And for some of you, this is the only contact you have in the week with someone else. All of us have been made for community. In each one of us, there is the desire to love and to be loved, to have friendship and to give friendship. Later this year, in June, we have planned a day away together as a church. A day when we can spend some time together as a church family. It's on June the 20th. Mark it in your diary. We're going to run a program for our children and our young people by a team of people who are going to come in from outside to help us, so that those of you who work with our children and our young people can spend time together with the church family, so that we can have some fun together, so that we can get to know each other a little bit better. A day away to enjoy each other. Mark it in your diary. It was a mark of the early church, spending time with other people. Here's the next mark I want you to notice this morning, that together they were devoted to sharing what God had given them. Look at verse 44 and 45. All the believers were together and they had everything in common, and selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Wow. Following Jesus introduces us to a radical kind of generosity. As here, literally, they begin to sell some, not all of their possessions, because clearly they were still meeting in people's homes. They weren't selling everything that they had. But everyone was involved in giving generously to the work of God. And I want to thank you this morning for so many of you who have given to the work of God here in this place over the last year. We cannot do what we do without your help, without your giving, without your gifts. And God has blessed us over the last year. He has given us more than we need over this past year. Praise God. But this is a new year. This is a time to review our giving. This is our time to look at God's word. This is our time to ask God, what is it that you want me to do as I move out into this new year? Are there things that you have given me and blessed me with that I can share with other people? We want to employ a new assistant minister. We want to look at how we can continue the post of Sarah and Charlie's longer than what we've planned to do, because we believe that's the direction God is leading us in. That calls for sacrificial giving. We want to be able to reach out and extend our ministries. We want to be a church that's growing and reaching out. That calls for sacrificial giving. About saying to God, I want to give back. It's not about me, it's what you have given me, and I want to give back to you out of all that you have given to me. And if you want to review your giving today, talk to this guy here, Peter, who's sitting about four rows back. And that gives me the opportunity to say thank you to Peter and to our finance team and our leadership team, who make so many wise decisions about how we spend the money that God gives to us. Encountering Jesus and experiencing the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit changes our attitudes to the things that we own. It says, I want to give back. It says, God, you've given me spiritual gifts to use. I want to use them for the building of your kingdom. In a couple of weeks' time, on the 28th of January at our members' meeting, I want to talk to you about a new leadership model that we've been looking at, that is designed to help more of us to be involved and more of us to use our gifts and the skills that God has given to us. Please, if you're a member of this church, come to our next members' meeting. As we continue to work out some of the practical implications of what it means to follow Jesus. Devoted to sharing what God had given. Here's the next one. And there's just this one and one more, you'll be glad to know. Together, devoted to praying with one another. Verse 42. They devoted themselves, the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, of the breaking of bread, and to prayer. My friends, I have to say to you this morning, this is probably one of the areas of church life that worries me most. You see, praying together is an expression of our dependence on God. If we're not praying together, that suggests to me that we think we can do it on our own. That worries me. I'm sure you've all heard the little saying, when we work, but when we pray, God works. And I know which I would prefer. I want to see God at work. I want to see God doing things in our church family for which I have no explanation because God has done it. I want to see God doing the unexplainable. I want to see God through us bringing people to faith in Christ in our workplaces and in our local community and in our family and in our friends. I want to see God filling our next Food for Thought course with people who are hungry for following Jesus because we're praying that that's what God will do. There are a faithful group of people who pray week in and week out together in this church. On a Saturday morning between 9 and 10 o'clock. I confess I am not there as often as I would like to be. But why is it that sometimes there are just 4 or 5 people praying together? This coming Thursday we're going to hold 2 sessions of prayer which I want to commit to you. 1 o'clock. And again at 8 o'clock in the evening, where we're going to pray through some of the things that we're thinking about this morning. You may say, well, I don't like prayer meetings. I don't like this idea of praying out loud. You don't have to pray out loud. But my friends, if we're not relying on the power of God as we go into 2015, we may as well close the doors. Because otherwise we're just putting on a good show. And it says to me in my Bible, and it says to you in your Bible, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Together, devoted to praying with one another. Will you come on Thursday? 1 o'clock. Will you come on Thursday at 8 o'clock in the evening? As we cry out to God, I think firstly for confession, to be honest with you, because I think we need to confess our lack of reliance on God as a church. And then interceding and crying out to God that He will bless us and He will work through our church and our families and our friendships and our community and our workplaces because He's at work in us through His Holy Spirit. We can't do it on our own. Devoted to praying with one another. Finally, this passage, they were devoted to sharing Jesus with others. Look how this passage ends. Praising God, enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord adds to their number daily those who are being saved. What I would give for that. All of us long for a sense of purpose, don't we? The sense that this world in which we live is meaningless, grates against every fiber of our being, while many come to the conclusion that life has no meaning. As followers of Jesus, we take joy in the fact that God has a purpose for our world. He's working His purposes out. Helping people follow Jesus. You know, Jesus didn't train His disciples in a classroom. He didn't take them on a special course. He trained them in the ups and downs of everyday life. And then He died on the cross for our sins. And then 3 days later, He rose again victorious to conquer sin and death and ultimately evil itself. And then He gave us a mission and said, go and tell other people about me. I wonder what you want for our church as we head into a new year together. Is 2015 just going to be just another year? Or could it be by the grace of God, as we look at the marks of the early church here, that we're praying and crying out to God and saying, this is what we want for our church for this year. This is what we want for our world. That's what I'm going to be praying for. I'm going to be praying. So you put the pieces together this morning for worship that helps us to focus on Jesus. Because I can't think of a better place to start. I'm going to be praying for discipleship that helps us to grow as the followers of Jesus. That we won't just sign up for a home group, but that we'll be there, that we'll attend, that we'll say we need to do this together. We need to grow together. We cannot do it on our own. I'm praying for a sense of fellowship that helps us to face the ups and downs of life together. And praise God, that's one of the lovely things about this church family. I've seen it over and over again over the last year. These broken-hearted people have supported and comforted each other through all kinds of difficult times. A fellowship that helps us to face the ups and downs of life together. I'm praying that our ministry will help us to share the gifts that we've been given. Every one of you who follows Christ has been gifted by God. Praying that we use those gifts. I'm praying that we'd be more dependent on prayer as a church, drawing on the power of God as we move into a new year together. And I'm praying finally that evangelistically that we will, that those words on the board won't just be four words that we pass in and out on a Sunday or some other time during the week. I'm praying that the next time I ask that question in front of you, you might know what those four words are. That's what God is calling us to, helping people follow Jesus. I look at this passage, I can't think of a better way of starting this new year than by reaffirming the sense of vision that God has given to us as we live in this broken and messed up and uncertain world. My friends, if you're a follower of Christ, we have a hope that is steadfast and certain. Do you believe that? We have a hope that is based on the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? We have a God who stepped into the history of our world, who comes to us in the person of Jesus Christ, who is Emmanuel, God with us. Do you believe that? Who holds the history of our world in his hands, who one day will return not as a baby, but as the King of Kings and as the Lord of Lords. And one day will make everything new. That, my friends, is where our hope comes from. It is not wishful thinking. It is based on the work and the person of Jesus Christ. So with confidence, we can invite people to follow Jesus. Almost a year ago, we stood together to make some important promises together. It's gone, thanks. I'll take you back to those same promises. I want to invite you to reaffirm those promises with me this morning. You see, this word devoted that we find in these verses we've been looking at this morning means that they gave their full attention to these things. These were the priority. And Luke describes here a group of people who were bound to God and bound to one another through faith in Jesus Christ. That kind of devotion cuts across our individualistic view of church that says it doesn't really matter whether I'm here or not. No one will really miss me. My friends, we're in this together. We're in this together. Let me remind you of the promises we made almost a year ago. Because in a few minutes I'm going to invite you to stand and to reaffirm those promises with me. I'm not going to force you to make a promise you don't want to make. But I would invite you to stand in a moment. Here they are. Here's the first one. Will you rely on God through the power of His Holy Spirit? You see, we can't do this on our own. This isn't about a New Year's resolution. This isn't about trying harder. This isn't about trying to turn over a new leaf. This is about saying, God, I need you to fill me by your Spirit. I need you to do in me and through me things that I can never do on my own. It's a good place to start, isn't it? Will you rely on God through the power of the Holy Spirit? Here we are back to this idea of following Jesus. Will you devote yourself to following Jesus? Of allowing these marks, these characteristics that we've been looking at this morning, allowing those things to grow in you by God's Spirit. And will you recognize that we are in this together? The church is not a private, individual experience. We are the body of Christ. The people that you sit around this morning are your brothers and your sisters in Christ. We are in this together. So I'm going to invite you to stand with me this morning. And if this is the desire of your heart, then affirm these promises with me. But if they're not, don't. be honest before God this morning. Let's stand. Is the first of those questions. Will you rely on God through the power of the Holy Spirit? We will. Will you devote yourself to following Jesus? We will. Will you recognize that we are in this together? We do. What a good way to start 2015. Do you sit for a moment? Chris has come back to lead the end of our service in just a moment, but I've dropped, do sit down, I've dropped a lot of dates as I've gone through some of this material this morning. They're important dates. Here they are on the screen. Maybe you want to jot them down before you go home. What about joining us tonight for evening communion? You say, well, I never do that. That's just for those who are a bit keen. Well, why not come this evening? Praying together this Thursday. Can you find some space to come and join other people as we pray the new year in together? Lunchtime, again at 8 o'clock in the evening. And remember that there's a prayer meeting here every Saturday morning between 9 and 10. What about our home group starting next week? Well, the week after, because we're praying together this week. You say, I want to join a home group. Well, come and speak to me at the end of the service. Food for thought. Is there someone that you know that you could invite to take a closer look at the Christian faith? This is a very comfortable place for people to ask questions. Maybe we can be praying now about someone that we could invite and say, come with me, bring them with you. 5 Tuesday nights. Our church members meeting on the 28th of January. Are you a member of our church? Part of the responsibility of being a member is that we make some decisions together. Please make sure you're there on the 28th of January. Our church away day, that chance to spend more time together as a church. Have a bit of fun together. That's okay, you know, we can have fun together. And an opportunity for those who are often involved in children's work and youth work to have fun also. Because so often when we meet like this, they're working elsewhere. There are some important dates that are coming. Jot them down in your diary. We are in this together. Chris.